This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello and welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about crepes.
Yes, crepes. Also fun with pronunciation.
Oh my goodness, why do we always do this to ourselves?
I don't know. The other option you floated was lutefisk. We were in dire straits no matter what.
Yeah, Annie was like, oh, this is going to be another fun with French one. And I was like, as opposed to the lutefisk episode, which is going to be easy sailing pronunciation-wise. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fun to return to that one because I was, you know, when we choose these episodes, we kind of do some base.
Some like preliminary.
Yeah, yeah. And it seemed really interesting. What made you, was there anything that brought crepes to mind?
Gosh, was there? I don't know. I was vaguely Googling around, looking at different holiday related dishes because I'm like, it's December. There's like holidays or something. we should do some kind of holiday themed dish, I guess. And
yes.
And then I'm not sure if crepes are still particularly or if it's like actually like a Christmas like winter holiday thing
right.
Or like this end of the winter holidays in France and elsewhere or if it's really more like after the New Year. But either way, I was like, that sounds delicious. I want to eat those. So let's read about them for a while.
Yes, I love some crepes and also.
Oh, yeah.
As Lauren and I discussed, this is similar to poutine, where we're saying it in the sort of American.
Crepes. Yeah, yes. Is a very American pronunciation. We actually just had a staff meeting right before this over Zoom. And unbeknownst to me, there was a French lady on the call who was coming to speak about some stuff. And Our boss, Will, like kind of called on me before the meeting started and was like, oh, Lauren, how you doing? What are you looking into today? And I was like, crepes. And man, if I had known that there was an actual French speaking human from France on the call, I would have made a vague attempt to say crepes. Because I think that that's a crepe. Yeah. Is like the way that you should say it. Mm-hmm. That's not what I did.
Man, that always happens when you're, I don't know, you're just not anticipating. Surely.
Surely.
And then, yes, absolutely. So, yes, I've had many crepes when I was in France. So many. I bought so many from like street cart vendors. I'd usually get the Nutella banana.
Ooh, yeah. Good one. Good one.
Or sometimes I would go savory with the ham and cheese. I liked those too. And I was once fortunate enough to go to the Cannes Film Festival.
Ooh.
And there was a whole Rue de la Crêpe.
Oh, what?
And I looked this up because me and my then boyfriend, we got such a huge kick out of this. And we kind of like jokingly be like, let's go to Rue de la Crêpe. And I couldn't find that it existed. But I think it's because it's not really a road. It was kind of just like an alley that
okay.
you walked through. And it just was all these crêperies. But there was a sign that said Rue de la Crêpe. I don't know if it was temporary.
Yeah, maybe it was there specially for Cannes or.
Yeah. It was delicious. I had many, many a delicious crepe on Rue de la Crêpe.
That's great. I mean, the one of the many great things about them is that they can be quite light.
Yes, they can be.
So you can eat quite a number of them.
Yes. I love the human brain, how it works that way.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's not that much. So I'll just eat 100.
Yeah. Duh.
Yeah. Well, I guess kind of speaking of, as always, I was thinking about Seinfeld in conjunction with whatever
okay.
topic we're talking about.
Sure. As you do.
Oh, of course. And there is an episode about crepes among many things. Because as I was remembering this episode, I was like, wow, that happened in that episode. But one of the plot lines was about crepes, and Jerry accidentally like put this whole family out of commission, where they owned this crepe chain called, I think, Magic Crepe, and he felt bad, so he like helped supply some employees to keep it running, and they accidentally rolled the crepes too tightly. And so when everyone was cutting into them, they exploded hot liquid into their face and then I think put them out of business. So,
oh,
yeah.
Well.
The dangers of the crepe.
The dangers of the. I've personally never seen such a thing happen, but.
I think there's some suspension of disbelief there for
okay.
sure.
All right. Cool.
They were rolled very tightly. Also. I thought of creepy paper from What We Do in the Shadows because when I was doing my searches, I kept getting crepe paper.
Sure.
Yes. And there's a joke in the show What We Do in the Shadows about how Nandor the Relentless believes it's called creepy paper. So he thinks it's
so he really wants it. Yeah. He's like, no, get all of the creepy paper. It's creepy.
Yes,
we're creepy.
Exactly.
Let's get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I adore.
We're actually coming back to crepe paper later, but...
yes. Before that, as we get into this, you can see our past episodes on pancakes, Nutella, maple syrup, bananas, whipped cream, cheese. A lot of things go in and on crepes, so...
You know. Yeah. I think my favorite crepe that I've ever had was a savory one with scallops in like this like mushroom cream sauce, like mushroom cream white wine sauce, out in San Francisco, I believe at a restaurant called the Crepe House. I think so.
That sounds
and
so good.
It was so good. I think I had only ever had a sweet crepes to before that. And so this was just like a revelation in any number of ways.
Wow. And, you know, like I said, I'd gotten some scallops after that episode we did on them.
Mm.
But my craving's not gone. Like,
no.
It's still hanging on. It's like, no, that was really good. I would like some more.
I would like all the scallops now.
Yes.
Yeah. That is always how I feel about scallops. I'm like, well, so I've had like three. What about if I had nine more?
That's about where I am. But all right, I guess okay. This brings us to our question.
Sure.
Okay. Crepes. What are they?
Well, crepes are a type of a large, thin, flat pancake that's tender and delicate and just golden brown and just crisp on the outer edges. To serve and or eat, you fold them up either plain or around any number of fillings. They can be served room temperature or warm or hot with sweet or savory spreads or fillings of any degree of fanciness, from like a simple like swipe of butter and a dust of sugar with just a spritz of lemon juice, or maybe like a little bit of a cooked protein and vegetable, like a maybe a ham and spinach, a sprinkle of cheese in there, to wildly intricate concoctions with fancy sauces and jams and spreads and ingredients and toppings and tableside flambés and etc. They're like a large unfluffy pancake. That is excellent, like a really good big unfluffy pancake. I thought of this one and then I was like, oh man, am I gonna get in trouble? They're like if one of those wraps that you've gotten at like any like American like mall stand made with like a big old flour tortilla, like one of those like 12 inch plus flour mm-hmm. tortillas, if that was actually ever good.
And this is when I'm like, oh, I love those.
I'm glad you like things.
You know, they get the job done, but I get what you're saying. A good crepe is far superior, yes.
Yeah. Crepes, though, are pretty simple, which is part of the draw, really. The batter is just butter, flour, either wheat or buckwheat, egg and milk, possibly other liquids in there too, mixed up thin, like the consistency of like a whipping cream or something. And then you pour like an almost translucent layer of batter, pour and spread that on a hot cooking surface, and then carefully flip to brown both sides. And that's it.
I'm nervous about trying. I've never tried to make crepes.
Oh no! And given your reticence about pancakes, and I've heard that crepes are easier, but the flipping part is concerning to me.
Crepes are easier,
huh? That's what I've read.
Okay, well, maybe because it's got the middle part. Okay, the thicker middle part. I'm dubious, but all right.
I'm also dubious.
Give it a try. But yeah. I'm a little
Well, there's a lot of really great guides out there. I read a really good one, of course, on Serious Eats by J. Kenji Lopez Alt. He wrote a really good one, and there's one other, maybe in The Guardian, that was great. Anyway, yes. Because crepes are so flat, and meant to be right tender. And just a little bit of crisp around the edges there, you do want to cook them like hot and fast on a surface that retains heat well, like a cast iron or carbon steel. They cook in just a couple minutes. And they can be cooked on any broad, flat-ish surface from like a griddle to a large pan. So there are lots of specialty devices available, including like portable gas or electric griddles that are specially designed for crepes to pans that look inverted. You pour the batter onto the slightly convex side. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that helps the batter spread and get those kind of lacy edges. Mm-hmm. The word crepe, by the way, relatedly comes from an old French word for a ruff or a frill.
Oh. All right. Yeah.
Makes sense. Uh-huh. There are some tricks for getting the lightness that you want out of the final product, including using a little bit of sparkling water or even sparkling wine or beer in your batter in place of some of the dairy for the bubbles. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And I've read that they're often served with hard cider in Brittany, which I understand is traditionally drank from these like shallow ceramic bowls. That's how I've had it served anyway in creperies. So.
Huh. I don't think I've ever had it that way, but I think most of my crepe experiences have been from carts or on Rue de la Crepe, which we don't know how authentic it was.
Yeah. Huh. Goodness. And I did want to put in a note here that there are all kinds of crepe-like flatbread type things in all kinds of cultures around the world. Those are not what we're talking about today. Hopefully we will get to many more of them in the future because very frequently those are exactly what I want to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always hard with ones like this where it's like 10 different other things are related or brought up in the conversation often. And you know the history is, yeah, related. But also you can't have a 20-hour.
Yeah. Or I mean, I guess we could.
We could.
Nothing's stopping
us. Close,
right? Right?
Yeah. It's just hard to be like, only this one. Because you know the history is related. But also, yeah, it deserves its own, a whole own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, what about the nutrition?
Well, it really depends. Mm-hmm. I mean, a single crepe on its own is, you know, still like made of like flour dough, which probably and like butter, which like probably puts it in the treat category. And probably most of the fillings that you put into it push it further into the treat category.
Yeah.
But treats are nice.
They are nice.
Crepes are very nice.
They are very extremely wonderfully nice. Yes. but we do have some numbers for you, but they were hard to find.
Yeah. Okay. So I have like one number for you. It's in here somewhere. Stick with me for a second. Crepes have historically been a special occasion food because they take a little bit of doing. And for a long time, flour and some of the sweet stuff that you would put in it were expensive. But in France, there is one holiday that they're perhaps most associated with, which is La Chandeleur. Yeah, Annie's giving me the nod of approval. Cool, yeah. Cool. I'll go with it. La Chandeleur. Known in English as Candlemas. Candlemas? I don't know. I didn't grow up with Christianity. But it's also widely known as the Day of the Crepe. This occurs 40 days after Christmas Eve, a.k.a. February 2nd, and apparently commemorates the presentation of Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem. And there are all kinds of traditions and superstitions around crepes on this day. But more on that one later, too.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. I actually had never heard of this, and now I'm like, well, why have I not been having crepes on February 2nd?
Right?
Need to rectify this.
There's a day for it? Heck yeah, I'm in.
Exactly. And we'll talk a little bit about that day and the traditions around it in the history section.
We will. But first, we're going to get into a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth.
Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, pretty much every civilization has had some form of flat cake.
Yeah.
A liquid batter cooked on a flat, heated surface. And many of them date back to ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
Experts analyzed 30,000-year-old grains that suggest our ancestors were making something similar to this article I was reading it in was a pancake, which I believe we discussed in our pancake episode.
Sure.
But they also mentioned crepes. Though the result of what they were making was probably much closer to hardtack than what we would think of as a pancake or crepe today. But
sure, yeah, something more cracker-like and not like a nice fluffy cracker like a sustenance cracker.
A sustenance cracker. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But the you know, beginnings were there.
Yeah, the idea. The idea is there.
Yes. And so specifically crepes, as always, the history is a bit murky. But popular French folklore goes that crepes were a so-called happy accident in the 13th century after a housewife in Brittany, in France, accidentally tipped over some buckwheat porridge that was cooking in a kettle onto a flat cooking stone in the fire. Voila, crepes.
Yeah, sure.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like if I had an accident like that, I mean, I guess I would try to salvage it.
Oh, yeah.
I think I wouldn't have succeeded, I guess. But.
It's a nice bit of folklore.
It is a nice bit of folklore, and it is very popularly told. But yeah, looking into this, historians do point out that in Brittany, buckwheat, the traditional crepe ingredient, is successfully grown, where wheat is not so successfully grown. And buckwheat had been introduced to Brittany from the East in the 12th century. So, you know, maybe that's a nice story, but perhaps the timing is correct. Mystery is history.
Sure.
Yeah. However, some timelines do place crepes earlier than that. For instance, the Jour des Crepes, or the Day of the Crepes, is often traced to 472 CE after French Catholic pilgrims gifted crepes to Pope Gelasio I when paying Rome a visit for Candlemas, or Day of the Crepes, or Jour des Crepes, whatever you would like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays in France and Belgium, the Day of the Crepes and Candlemas are synonymous, and crepes are a part of it, representing coins or the sun.
Yeah, I've also read that maybe it was that there was a pope who was gifting crepes to the pilgrims who were making this pilgrimage when they got there. I'm not entirely sure. At any rate, yeah, this festival and the food also have ties to pagan pre-spring festivals of fertility and prosperity. See above, re the coins and the sun kind of symbolism that you get from the big round golden crepe. So let's get into some of these traditions, though. There are a few around candles. Yeah. Like if you carry a candle from home to church
without it going out, then you will definitely live through the year. Like, you're chill. But if its wax only drips down one side during the journey, a loved one will die that year.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I know. Right. Mm-hmm. Candle-related anxiety. I already have candle-related anxiety. I'm like, who gave me this live fire? No one should
do
that.
I do, too. Those, like, Christmas Eve candle lighting ceremonies, I've been scared of them for years.
I'm so bad with lighters, you guys. Anyway. But okay, but about crepes, again, ostensibly a food show. You have your crepe meal in the evening that day, and you're supposed to make your crepes with last year's flour in anticipation of the coming spring harvest. And this is hypothetically like part of the point, like the practical part of it, like using up extra stores to make way for fresh supplies. But it's also, yeah, like part of the superstition. You also, I've read, keep the first crepe you make like in a drawer or on top of your wardrobe until next year for prosperity.
How do crepes keep?
I mean, they would just dry out like a cracker and just kind of hang out there.
Okay. All right.
I've definitely like pulled a box of matzah from the back of my cupboard and been like, oh man. Not sure which year I bought this. That's fine. Just fine.
Okay. I also read you're meant to flip the crepe with your right hand while holding a coin in your left hand to ensure you'll be happy and wealthy in the coming year.
Yeah. Yeah. I read that too. And I think that you, part of it is that you have to land the crepe back in the pan correctly for it to count.
This feels like a lot of pressure. I mean, we're already nervous about making the crepes and candles. And now... Oh, dear.
I ran across really delightful photographs of, like, tiny children, like 6-year-olds, like, expertly flipping crepes in a pan. So it must be easier than we feel could possibly be true.
Or we are clumsier than a 6-year-old.
I can neither confirm nor deny this statement.
Just saying, there are multiple ways to interpret this information.
Yep.
In either case, please write in and let us know, listeners, if you know about any of this stuff, if you've done any of this stuff. We love this kind of thing. So,
oh, absolutely. And I really hope that we're not coming off as dismissive or amused in like a mean way. Like, we're amused in a delighted way, and just we are uncultured in this particular segment of culture. And so if you know more than us, definitely let us know.
Yeah. I do all kinds of stuff like this. And I think we've talked about a lot of the traditions we do that have very similar superstitions. It's legitimate fascination and love. So, yes. So the French bought crepes with them when they colonized parts of North America. And in many of those areas, crepes are still a mainstay. And I thought it was interesting because there were several articles I found that were specific to the middle west of the U.S., like northwest United States. And it is, I guess, Canadian French influence.
Sure. Yeah. No, makes sense from, you know, the borders of what was Canada versus what would become the United States. Because that was back in the 1500s. So there was lots of time then where all the borders were non-existent, too wobbly.
Yes.
The word crepe entered the English language first, meaning the paper, around 1797, and only later, like a whole century almost later, around 1877, meaning the flat pancake. Although similar dishes by similar names were appearing in English language cookbooks from like the 1300s. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Creepy paper's been around that long?
Yeah. Nandor surely would have run into it before that dollar store or wherever it was that they were.
Oh, Nandor. Speaking of France and perhaps the love of the French, Thomas Jefferson, that guy, was a fan of something called pancake. He had a recipe sent to his French maître d'hôtel, though this recipe didn't have a leavener. So what he was having was probably more of what we would call a crepe. Yeah. And this is true in a lot of pancake history, is that before leaveners were pretty widely available, commercially made, probably a lot of pancakes were...
were flat. Yeah.
Much absolutely. More crepe-like. Yes. Perhaps the most famous crepe presentation, Crepe Suzette, rose to fame in 20th century Paris. And these were traditionally prepared in front of guests to dazzle them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. According to Merriam-Webster, the name first appeared in print in 1922. But like pretty much everything we talk about, there are a few stories about how this one was first created. One of the most popular goes that it was also a happy accident precipitated by a clumsy 14-year-old assistant waiter named Henri Carpentier at the Maître at Monte Carlo's Café de Paris in 1895. And a very happy accident indeed, because he was preparing a dessert for the then Prince of Wales and future King Edward VII of England, as the story goes. And so we do have some words from the man himself.
Yes, yes.
Yes. In his 1934 memoir, Life à la Henri, being the memories of Henri Carpentier, Carpentier wrote, "It was quite by accident, as I worked in front of a chafing dish, that the cordials caught fire. I thought I was ruined. The prince and his friends were waiting. How could I begin all over? I tasted it. It was, I thought, the most delicious melody of sweet flavors I had ever tasted. I still think so." That accident of the flame was precisely what was needed to bring all those various instruments into one harmony of taste. He ate the pancakes with a fork, but he used a spoon to capture the remaining syrup. He asked me the name of that which he had eaten with so much relish. I told him it was to be called Crepes Princesse. He recognized that the pancakes controlled the gender and that this was a compliment designed for him. But he protested with mock ferocity that there was a lady present. She was alert and rose to her feet, and holding her little skirt wide with her hand, she made him a curtsy. "Will you," said his majesty, "change Crepes Princesse to Crepes Suzette?" Thus was born and baptized this confection, one taste of which, I really believe, would reform a cannibal into a civilized gentleman. The next day, I received a present from the prince, a jeweled ring, a Panama hat, and a cane. Interesting.
That is delightful. And if y'all have never heard of Crepe Suzette, it's got this kind of like caramelized sauce of sugar and butter with some kind of citrus juice and zest, usually orange, and then maybe a little bit of orange liqueur in there, flambéed tableside. So, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Sure. Furthermore, that cracks me up. That's a beautiful recounting of an event. But it also, if anyone else ever watched a lot of DuckTales as a kid or modernly, Cape Suzette still really gets me every time.
Well, I don't know what that is, but I love it.
Oh, it's just the name of the place. They're in Cape Suzette.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so when white wheat flour became more affordable and widely available in the 20th century, so too did white wheat crepes. As the ingredients used to cook crepes evolved, the cooking methods and tools did too. From cast iron skillets over a fireplace to hot plates heated by gas or later electricity.
And I think that the first portable gas stove hot plates meant for crepes were released in 1949. From what's now the brand Krampus?
Maybe?
K-R-A-M-P-O-U-Z. Yeah, which means pancakes in the Brittany dialect. The invention apparently came after this electrician dude had his sister-in-law be like, "Hey, so I've got this cast iron
to make crepes on, but I don't have a hearth in my new place. So can you come up with some kind of heating solution for me to use this cast iron to make crepes? And he was like, yeah, sure.
That's great.
Yeah.
In the 1950s, Nordic Ware, who we talked about in the Bundt cake episode, Bundt cake episode, began manufacturing a crepe pan in the U.S. The product came with several crepe recipes to help American cooks who might be unfamiliar with French cooking.
The first electric crepe maker debuted in 1971, also from the aforementioned Crème Bleuse. Notably, all of their products were aimed at professionals, though, up until the early 1980s. Then in the late 80s, early 90s, chains of creperies began spreading around the United States, especially in these fast service situations like mall and festival food courts.
Yes. And in 2001, French-trained Japanese pastry chef Emi Wada further popularized crepes in the U.S. with her meal crepe cake that she debuted at her bakery in New York City. Although the name translates to 1,000 layers or 1,000 pages or 1,000 leaves, it's actually about 20 layers of crepe with pastry cream in between them.
Oh, it's a really lovely thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. and then in 2019, a physicist and a fluid dynamicist teamed up to publish a paper in the journal Physical Fluid Reviews about how to get the perfect consistency out of your crepes at home in a frying pan, like uniformly thick, no lumps or holes. So what they did was they analyzed how the liquid batter spreads and solidifies in a hot pan, and then how the remaining liquid batter then interacts with the already solidified batter.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. and basically, and this is another thing that you can look up if you would like to, they concluded that you kind of tip and roll your wrist to cover the surface of the pan fully and then fill in any gaps, and then kind of keep repeating that motion, sort of like a figure eight almost.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like a tip and roll.
A tip and roll. I know we've discussed it before, but this is one of my very favorite things. When you get a physicist and fluid dynamicist, I know, I'll look into crepes.
Yeah, right?
So great.
I think this was another one. I think that the fluid dynamicist, like his wife, was like, why can I never get crepes perfect at home? Like, what's up with that? And he was like, I don't know. And she was like, you're a fluid dynamicist. You heckin' should know. And he was like, well, fine.
You've got me there. Let me get to work.
And apparently the daughters of these two families were very pleased about all the experimentation with crepes that occurred.
I would be as well. I would be as well.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I think that's all we have to say about crepes for now.
Yes, we do have some listener mail for you. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with I think that was pretty good. I guess only time will tell.
Only time. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We need to start a rankings list of our best and worst.
Oh no. No.
Even the bad ones you can learn from.
I hope that the cat noises in the background are really setting it off. As I said to Annie during our commercial break that we took during the break there, I just Gray Cat is just hecking Chaos Cat today, and I don't know why. He wants to be everywhere at once, and he doesn't have opposable thumbs, so he can't operate doors, and he's mad.
Yes, there's been a lot of motion from the cat.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes we're all Chaos Cat.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Words of wisdom.
Yep, sometimes we are all Chaos Cat.
Indeed.
Anyway,
Connie wrote, I'm in North Fort Myers, Florida, and we were looking for a wing place closer to us than our favorite place, which is about 10 miles away. I found one to try called It's Just Wings. We ordered takeout, and my husband went to get our order. When getting to the address, there was a Chili's. After searching the strip mall area, not finding the wing place, he went into the Chili's to ask, and there was a sign to a counter to pick up for It's Just Wings. He asked, and they said it was just a sideline for Chili's. By the way, the wings were awful.
Oh.
We'll continue to drive to our favorite wing place, Hog Bodies, a local place.
Oh, wow.
Chili's.
Huh.
Oh, wow. It's Just Wings is such a funny name, too.
It's Just Wings.
It's Just Wings.
It's Just Wings.
It's just the wings part of our menu.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad. Too bad. I mean, a lesson was learned, but too bad the wings were bad. Bad wings always make me sad.
Oh, sure. Right? I mean, they are a little bit difficult to get, like, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But...
yeah, outright
bad
ones.
The wings are so good.
Oh yes, yes.
Kevin wrote, I've been a big fan of the pod since day one. Oh, thank you. You two are always so awesome about letting your personalities shine through. It's like having good friends in the car with me as I drive all over for work. Thanks for the company. You're welcome. I had to pause the scallop episode to write in, so I'm not sure if it comes up later. But please, Annie, give another listen to Lauren's description of the scallop. Many, many eyes, tentacles, unknown dark intentions. It's clearly a sea beholder. I adore the D&D sides that you two throw in. I'm always down for more of them. Lauren, if this results in tragedy for the party, sorry.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
They are in a watery environment now.
Oh, jeez.
I love unknown dark intentions, Kevin. That was a nice descriptor.
Yeah, that's, well,
Thank you. I'm glad that this material is hitting for like literally anyone. We go on these D&D tangents and I'm like, oh heck, did we just lose everybody?
I think we've got like 4 or 5 people that are really into it.
So thank you. I'm really glad. Thank you so much for listening. But B, oh man, like if there's any rule that I try so hard to follow, it's like never give your DM ideas.
I have the most excellent. I cannot wait.
Oh no.
For an idea you all gave me like in the second session, and it's not going to come into fruition until like the end, and I'm so excited. It's going to be so bad.
Oh heck.
Yes, but you gave me an idea. You did the thing, Lauren.
it's a creative environment. I'm glad that we're all suffering together under your unwielding thumb.
That's right. You know I'm so cruel. So cruel. No, it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be hilarious.
Oh, that's great. No, I'm super excited. And also, like, you are not incorrect. Like scallops definitely look like sea beholders. If y'all still have not looked up what scallops look like when they're alive, do that.
Yes. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. Well, thanks to both of these listeners for writing. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks as always to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the #1 dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.